You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. After 2 years and hundreds of hours of public testimonies across the state, California lawmakers are taking the findings from the state's reparations task force and crafting them into legislation. This task force is a first-in-the-nation attempt to atone for the ongoing harm slavery has had on African Americans and society. The California Legislative Black Caucus has more than a dozen bills that are moving through the state capitol, but none at this moment includes cash payments to Black Californians who are descendants of slavery. In Sacramento, the Sheba Farms Foundation has been holding events over the past month to better understand what reparations could look like locally. And tonight at 5:30 p.m., they're going to be having a conversation at Sacramento State with six panelists. That also includes former Sacramento Police Chief Daniel Hahn. Moderator Zion Tedessa and panelist Chris Lodgson with the Coalition for a Just and Equitable California, they join us now with more on how these ongoing events hope to shape policy at the state capitol. Good afternoon to you both. Thank you for taking the time.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Vicky, for having us.
Thank you again. Zion, I want to start with you because you're the founder of Sheba Farms Foundation. How did this organization come about?
Yeah, so the mayor's office initiated this program for the city of Sacramento, not for the city, but at the office of the mayor.
The foundation that you're the founder of?
Oh, you're talking about the foundation. Sorry, yes. I thought you were talking about the reparation. So the Sheba Farm Foundation was found because, you know, as you know, I have Queen Sheba restaurant. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, I'm trying to grow my food organically, my teff and my vegetable, because I have a lot of plant-based food customers, vegetarian and vegans. So how we found Sheba Farm Foundation is really to organize community, also educate community when it comes to the health and wellness of our community, also the safety of our community through food justice, social justice, environmental justice, and our economic justice.
How does these conversations and events that you've been hosting about reparations, how does that fit into your mission at Sheba Farms Foundation?
Yeah, so because Sheba Farm Foundation is all about community organization. How do we really support our community from grassroots? So I feel like, you know, the city or the state is a little bit disconnected to the community that they serve. So we will be the bridge, people like us who's working on the underground, helping community, whether through food or through other things. That what we do. So in that way, we can actually organize our community so our community can thrive. The youth can thrive so we can actually create generational wealth for our community, especially for Black community.
Yeah, and as you touched upon in the very beginning, these events that you've been hosting, they're in collaboration with the mayor's office. Tell us about their role in this.
So the role in there is really to get the survey from the, especially for African-American community. So this is really designed to support the African-American community who's been here for over 400 years. Their ancestors already paid for it for free slavery. So right now they're initiating so we can actually create a program specifically for the needs and wants of the African-American community, whether they need land or they need housing or health care or education or even, job opportunity, business opportunity. We only like 2.7% of Black businesses in California. So we want to change that to at least 10-20%. So to do that, we really need the fund, the resources, and the support that we need, especially African-American community, from whether city level or state level or federal level. There should be some fund invested into the community. So when African-American community thrive, we all thrive. Every community thrives. So that's what I believe. So that's what I signed up for. That's what we are advocating for, the better of, our community health and wellness and safety as well.
Yeah. All right, Chris, I want to get to you. Can you tell us about the organization that you're part of? It's Coalition for a Just and Equitable California.
Yes, and thank you so much for having me and for having my good friend and colleague Zion here today. Yes, the Coalition for a Just and Equitable California. We are California's first, only, and leading statewide grassroots volunteer-led organization born just for reparations and reparative justice for Black Americans whose ancestors were enslaved in these United States. In 2019 and 2020, we helped write the final version of the law that created the California Reparations Task Force, along with and through the leadership of then Assembly Member Dr. Shirley Weber, now, of course, California Secretary of State Dr. Shirley Weber. So we helped write the final version of that law to create the California Reparations Task Force and then work to help get the law passed, get the law signed into law by the governor, and then work for 2 years alongside of the task force as one of the seven community organizations that they partnered with to do community outreach, community organizing for reparations at the state level.
Wow. So the report that following 2 years of work and events, I mean, hundreds of hours of people testifying to the effects of slavery and how it's impacted Black Californians over generations. I mean, that report, I think, is over 1,000 pages. So you were a very engaged member in this from its inception to now.
Yeah. And thank you for highlighting the report. The, you know, the state task force released two reports, actually, one in the middle of their work in June of 2022, I believe, and then one at the end of their work last year in June of 2023. First, documenting the harms and making the case for why California should be paying reparations, specifically to descendants of persons who were enslaved in this country, and then also what the reparations should be. And that page is over 1,000 pages, as you mentioned. It contains over 115 or so specific policy recommendations. That report is very long, and so we understand that, you know, some folks may not have all the time in the world to read 1,100 pages. So we are also, as part of our community work, we are also every Thursday right now on YouTube. We're actually reading a part of a chapter out loud for folks right now on our YouTube channel at CJEC Official. And yes, we were at every single hearing. So we went to every single hearing throughout the 2 years. We live streamed every single hearing throughout the 2 years on YouTube. There were, you know, over a dozen hearings from city to city, 8 hours per day for 2 days long equals one hearing. So we did that 16 times, and we loved every single moment of it.
Wow. And we're talking about statewide, but the conversation we're having specifically today is because there are local conversations taking place in Sacramento. How did that begin? What conversations were you having with Zeon about having a series of local events in Sacramento?
Yeah, so this actually, the local efforts for reparations, specifically here in California, I think originate with the work that San Francisco actually started, you know, a few years back now. And in, I want to say 2020, maybe 2021, a coalition of mayors across the country came together to form the MORE Coalition, M-O-R-E, Mayors Organized for Reparations and Equity. Mm-hmm. And several California mayors were part of this nationwide coalition of mayors who were advocating for reparations at the city level and the county and, and municipal level. And so our mayor, Daryl Steinberg, was a part of this group, still is a part of this group. And in 2020, so late 2022 and into 2023, the mayor's office started to reach out through the Office of Racial Equity and his team there, Kelly Fong Rivas, who wanted to start the process of deciding whether or not the city of Sacramento should follow cities like San Francisco, like L.A., like, you know, Berkeley, like Culver City, like, you know, Alameda County, who were developing and pursuing local city and municipal style reparations efforts. And so really it's, you know, over the last year and a half or so where the mayor and his team through the Office of Racial Equity reached out to some community organizations to see what the appetite was and what we would recommend as some next steps. And what we came together to say late last year was that we needed to take this question of whether or not the city of Sacramento should pursue local reparations to the residents of Sacramento themselves.
Mm. Well, Zeon, I mean, you've been hosting these events now for 4 weeks. There have been several. I mean, they span conversations with the community here about education, generational wealth, social and economic justice, healthcare, women's empowerment, food justice. I mean, we're going to we'll dive into the event tonight. But when you take a look back at these conversations you've had over the past 4 weeks, what have been your biggest takeaways?
So for me, the biggest takeaway is what the community wants and what the state or the city is investing is totally different thing. So this survey really an initiation to really know what the community really looking for. What are they, when it comes to African-American community, what is it they're looking for when it comes to reparation? When it comes to the fund coming in, and instead of, you know, spending it on construction, what I heard from people is like empowerment, ownership, education, healthcare. You know, especially for people who are really, healthcare is how expensive it is, you know, in the United States. Education, the proper education that the youth need, you know, trading and training. Those are the kind of, you know, and it's a good investment too to the community, especially when it comes to in our community, there's so much food desert. So we need to have our own land to grow our food, you know. So those kind of things, what they're looking for. Like a sustainable change, and instead of just, you know, here is your fund or here is your money, but it has no value. So this program, I think, will do a specific program to change the way how, you know, our community is thriving, because we're really not thriving right now as a Black community. So this will really give, you know, the community to you know, to push us into the next level, and that so create that generational wealth that has not been, you know, to me, it should have been that long time ago, the reparation. But now that's where we are right now at the city level and state level. That's what we are advocating. And for me as a community person being here for 20 years, you know, serving Queen Sheba restaurant, I am so connected to the community that I'm serving, especially Sacramento community. So I think this is such an amazing initiation for, especially for the people who needs it really desperately. So in that way, you know, everyone can thrive, every community can thrive accordingly, because this is America. So it's about time.
Well, let's get to the event tonight. It's going to be 5:30 p.m., 5:30 to 7 p.m. at Sacramento State on campus. This is an in-person event. It's open to the public. It's free, correct, to attend?
Yes.
What do you want people to know about it?
So this was done by the Africa House Foundation. So they have a 3-day event going on from today all the way to probably tomorrow, too. So I'm collaborating with them to put the voice out there, also to reach out community, not just African-American community. Everybody needs to put their voice out there to say how would they would like to see this program being created. And instead of the city or the state just assuming this is what you want, this is the program you want, but this time they're really giving us the power to really create those programs from grassroots. So that's what we will be talking. Me and Mariana will be moderating it. Chris will be there to explain. Professor Uwazi, he's a criminal justice at the Sac State. As you know, we're fighting for criminal justice policy to social justice, you know, the basic necessary things for any human being, you know, the accesses to nutrition, food, access to housing, access to good job opportunity, access to health care. So those are the accesses we're fighting for our community here in Sacramento. I tell people, you know, I'm only fighting for Sacramento. I'm here. So if our community thrives, Sacramento thrives, we all thrive.
And the title of tonight's event is Food, Social, Economic, and Environmental Justice.
Yes.
As Ian mentioned, Chris, you are one of the panelists. There'll be 6 panelists this evening. What do you hope people take away from this conversation?
So a couple of things. One, I hope people take away some education first and some knowledge and some awareness about the state level reparations effort here in California, about the city level reparations efforts in different cities across the state, and of course, our own coming city level reparations effort here in the city of Sacramento. So I think that's the first thing I want folks to take away is some basic knowledge, some basic education about the current state of affairs of reparations at the state and at the city level here in California, and also how we got here too. So some basic background knowledge and education. Also, I would really love folks to have and take away from today a better understanding of what we mean by the word reparations. So,
right.
You know, if you ask 10 different people, you know, you're going to get 10 different, but probably similar answers,
yes.
But they'll still be different in some ways. And so I think it's important for folks to understand what we mean by the word reparations when we're talking about it. So that is also what I want folks to take away. And then also I want folks to take away the knowledge and the opportunity, and hopefully folks act on the opportunity to take the Sacramento Reparations Survey, which is live right now. We're going to be promoting it like crazy at the event today. But folks don't have to wait to take the survey. You can take the survey right now at www.sacrepsurvey.com. That's www.sacrepsurvey.com. You can take the survey right now. Please do take the survey and tell the city what you want to see for reparations and whether or not you think Sacramento should pursue local reparations.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Zion Tedessa and Chris Lodgson about their event at Sac State. It's happening tonight at 5:30 p.m. And they are discussing what reparations could look like for Sacramento. Chris, since you really have this statewide look, you've been there since, you know, this was just a bill before it became a law, before it became a task force, before it became a report, before it became recommendations, which
yes.
is now shaping into legislation. The California Legislative Black Caucus, they have more than a dozen bills moving through the state capitol. Are you satisfied with this first round of legislation?
No. And straightforward, no. And I am echoing, I think, the thoughts and thinking of many grassroots advocates and activists who've been working on reparations policy and, you know, organizing and outreach for several years now. And we've made our concerns known to the California Legislative Black Caucus. We're looking forward to working with the caucus to productively, you know, improve on the legislation that has already been introduced. We do make a distinction, though, between what the caucus presented in their list of 14 or so bills as priorities and some of the other legislation that other caucus members introduced that are based on the reparations report, but that are not included in that 14 list priorities. So I'm thinking about bills like Senate Bill 1403, which just passed actually this week out of the California Senate Judiciary Committee. This bill creates a state agency to oversee, implement, and monitor state-level reparations efforts. A very important bill. We are very, very supportive of this bill. It was introduced by State Senator Stephen Bradford. That bill, though, is not included in the 14 list priority package. Bills like Senate Bill 1331, which would create the first ever state-level reparations fund and a funding source for reparations. A lot of times we get questions asked about where will the money come from and how is it going to be funded? Well, this bill answers that question. It creates a permanent reparations fund in our state budget and a source of funding for reparations. But this bill was not included in that 14 list priority package. So we're looking forward to working with the caucus to take more meaningful steps in the next round of legislation that comes out. We think, you know, early next year. We do have some strong bills this year, too, as you know, as mentioned, like 1403 and 1331. But no, generally speaking, the list in that 14 list, you know, list of bills from the caucus does not go far enough. Many of them are not specific to the descendants of persons who were enslaved in the United States. So it's actually stuff for everybody. And if it's for everybody, it's definitely not reparations for me. We're not satisfied. We think we can do way, 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 way better.
When you are having these conversations with the caucus and expressing your dissatisfaction with the first round of legislations overall, what is the big message, the big response that you get from the caucus as to why they're leading with this package of bills?
Yeah, there are two big messages. We don't agree with either of them, but they're two big sort of points and premises. The first is that we don't have the money to do the more meaningful things. So, you know, we get, you know, often pointed to our state budget and the budget deficits. And so that it has been a concern raised by some caucus members. We flat out reject that line of thinking for a couple of different reasons. I won't go into them all here because it's probably too long for the segment. But specifically speaking, we have $250 billion state budget. So we spend $250 billion as a state. First. Secondly, California has the fourth largest economy, fifth or fourth largest economy on planet Earth. It's like, so we are not sympathetic to the argument that California is broke. California is not broke. We have $250 billion of spending that we spend every year. What we're saying is that we must be prioritized just like every other dollar in that $250 billion, $250 billion is. There's nothing more important than reparations right now for us. So we deserve the same level of prioritization in the state budget. We also make the case that we're not the people who you do something for only when you have extra money, i.e. a surplus, which is the line of thinking that was sort of, it's sort of implied by that budget reasoning. Also, California has a projected budget deficit every year for the foreseeable future.
Right.
So we can't accept that premise. And then lastly, the caucus has told us that they want to do the easier things first and build up support for the harder things. We think that's backwards. We want you to do the hardest stuff now and come out strong.
Yeah. Well, Chris, we are still in the thick of this, so I hope you join us again on Insight as
Of
we
course.
continue to follow this. And Zion, as always, it's nice to
Yes,
see you.
good to see you too, Vicky. Thank you for having us. Yeah, keep on bringing us the most important thing, like Chris said. They need to fill out that survey. Otherwise, the city or the state are not going to know what we really want. So that survey is the most important thing for every Black or African American to fill that out. Especially African Americans need to fill that out as soon as possible. So the mayor's office will get that survey, and then they will have some statistics where we can spend the funds once they decide to do that.
And we do have a link to that survey on our Insight page. It is up live right now.
Yes.
Zion Tedessa is the founder of Sheba Farms Foundation and has been holding events over the past month to better understand what reparations could look like locally here in Sacramento. Tonight at 5:30 p.m., there is going to be a wide-ranging conversation at Sacramento State with six panelists, including Chris Lodgson with the Coalition for a Just and Equitable California. We also have more information about the event on our Insight page. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.